Chapter 14. By the time Ron got back to Rahway, they were just starting dinner. Loreen, Ruth, Warren, Chris were at the table. When Ron walked in, Warren said that he should get himself a plate and sit down. "I just ate," said Ron, "but I'll have a glass of wine and sit with you." "Where's Robin?" said Loreen. "She's at her mother's house." "Is that where she's going to stay?" "I guess so." "How is she?" "Beautiful." Loreen laughed. "We know that you think that she's beautiful, but how's she doing?"
"She seems fine. She'll be here until Sunday."
"The more important question," said Warren, "is how are you?"
"I'm okay."
"What does that mean?"
"I don't know. I don't feel suicidal. I don't feel too much of anything. I'm just okay."
"And where were you on the night of August 1st, said Chris, mimicking that he was shining a flashlight in Ron's face. Loreen laughed, Warren grimaced, Ron smiled, and Ruth, her oval face as hard as stone, said that she didn't feel very much like having dinner, and she was just going to bed.
"Don't fall asleep in there," said Warren. "I want to talk to you about what happened today."
There was a tired tone in her voice. "Wake me up when you come in, if you want to talk," she said. Then she left the table. After Warren heard her close the door, he said, "She's upset about a patient of hers that died today."
"I don't know how she does that," said Loreen.
"She's strong. And she's a professional," said Warren. "But every once in a while, it gets to her, particularly if she thinks that the person should have been able to make it."
"Why don't you go and talk to her then," said Loreen.
"In a bit. It'll keep.
What I want to talk about, while everybody who's living here is together and alone, is the shape of things around here. As I see it, I've got two choices. I can either have some changes made around here, or I can leave. I've decided, and I think I might be wrong, that changes are going to have to be made."
Chris put his fork down and leaned back with his head against the paneled wall.
"What are you talking about?" he said.
"To begin with, I think that drugs here are completely out of hand. We had an arrangement, Chris, that said there wouldn't be any dealing in the house. You're jeopardizing everything by what you're doing."
"What am I doing?" said Chris, twirling the end of his mustache and bringing his foot up to the seat of his chair.
"You're selling drugs, and you're stoned all the time. You make it impossible to have anyone over here who doesn't want to be stoned all the time."
Chris looked at Loreen. "This is coming through you," he said.
"What do you mean?" said Loreen, in a shocked voice. "I'm hearing this for the first time, too."
Chris stared at her, but didn't say anything.
"What else?" he said to Warren, without looking in his direction.
"I want band practice limited to no more than once a week. And I want to know in advance what day that's going to be."
Chris looked at him with disgust.
"What else?"
"I want Ron out of here by the end of the month."
Chris looked over at Ron, back at Warren.
"I say that Ron can stay for as long as he wants."
"What else?"
"I don't want the California people staying here when they drive out your shipments."
"What else?"
"That's it for now," said Warren.
"Are you sure?"
"Yes."
"Well, you're always good for a laugh, Warren. To me, the solution to all of this seems really simple. You made the wrong basic decision. If this is how you feel, you should go." I told you that I considered that and rejected the idea. Reconsider. Because, as I recall, we got this place together. You weren't in charge then, and you're not in charge now. You've lost control of things, Chris. Can't you see what's happening?
I see what's happening.
You're finally getting around to trying to run my life. And on top of that, you're doing it like an asshole. That's what I see. Make the changes by the end of the month, Chris.
Fuck you, Warren.
Taking that kind of an attitude isn't going to help resolve this.
I think, said Chris, clasping his fingers and speaking very slowly,
that you really don't want to do this.
I'm doing this for you. Do you believe that you've got a prayer of making it through law school with the way you're living?
I think that's my concern.
When I want you to do something for me, he said, imitating Warren's drawl, I'll ask you.
It's not just a question of you.
Oh, I know that, Sheriff. You're doing it for the good of the whole community, and now you've enlisted the aid of a deputy.
Chris, why are you trying to drag me into this? Said Loreen.
Because, darling, you're somewhere near the bottom of it all.
That's not true, said Loreen.
Chris stared at her and began to giggle.
You really thought you'd slither on through here, didn't you?
Ron stared at Warren and wondered why he was doing this and why he was picking now to do it. Wasn't there enough going on without Warren complicating everything?
Look, said Warren, I realize that without the dealing that money might be tight for a while.
Loreen and I talked about it, and we decided that if you straighten out your life, you can live here rent-free.
Chris giggled again.
You did.
I don't think that I could stand living with either of you now, and I'm paying for most everything. Imagine how great it would be to have the two of you supporting me.
Warren, this just doesn't make any sense, said Ron.
You're wrong about that. It's one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Right up there with coming up north, huh, Sheriff? Said Chris.
This time, Ron burst out laughing, too.
I can see that you're in no shape to discuss this any further right now, said Warren.
Loreen said, I think I'm going to bed.
Chris and Ron laughed, and she left the table quickly.
Warren said, maybe the two of us can talk this through in the morning.
And then he left Ron and Chris sitting at the table.
Chris looked over at Ron and said, well, this should be interesting.
Ron said, let's smoke a joint, man.
Chris went into his room and brought the pot tray into the living room. He handed it to Ron, went to the stereo to choose an Eric Clapton album,
and was just getting into bed to begin talking with Ruth when the first lines of I Shot the Sheriff blasted from all four speakers. Warren clenched his jaw, stared at the closed door.
I'm dealing with children, he said to Ruth.
Yes, you are. And the truth is that I'm a bit jealous, because there's nothing left for me when I need some support.
You've got a right to be upset, said Warren.
That doesn't mean that anything is going to really change, does it, Warren?
I'm going to clean the house out.
I don't care about the house. What about you and me?
I care about the house, and you do too.
Sometimes it's difficult to keep sight of the things we care about.
Ruth gave Warren an ironic smile and said that she wanted to go back to sleep. When she turned over, she felt his hand on her breast. She closed her eyes and opened her legs. Loreen lay on her bed and listened to the music. She thought about Chris and how stubborn he was. She told herself that he deserved what was going to happen because he didn't respect other people's feelings. When the song ended, Chris got up carrying the joint and put the needle back at the beginning. He was thinking about what was going to happen next and decided that he would be in a better position to deal with this after he came back from California. They finished the joint in Chris's room, then Ron wandered back into the living room with his pad. He felt as if he could feel the house reaching out to him, encouraging him, telling him that he belonged there. He stared at the fireplace. It was empty except for some twigs. He took a small piece of wood from the sod and opened the flue. Everything was dry and quickly caught. It was a small fire, not like the ones that they had the rest of the year that blazed for hours and hours. Ron just needed to stare into the flames. Something that wasn't good was going to happen here. He felt for the first time that there might not be a Rahway any longer for him. It would be another door that closed. Just outside the picture window, over the fireplace, he could see that bird feeder swaying gently in the night. Outside the window over our fireplace hangs a feeder. I watch the birds come to eat. You watch the flame. We have different fantasies, but the feeling is the same. I watch the bird. You stare into the flame. We're cross-eyed from our visions. When we're together, ecstatic electricity shorting out the pulsings of our veins. We watch our imagination drown the bird in the flames.